He turns to me, and he says, "Why so serious? Let's put a smile on that face."
Yeah.
All right, greetings, my fellow nerdlings. We're going to talk about some geeky things today. We're getting all geeked out because you know how we do on some of these where we, before something big that's pop culture related, we do CFD After Dark. And we're going to do the same thing, celebrating the incredibly dorky, nerdy, like, festival that is going to be the Avengers Infinity War. Mm-hmm. So I am joined, my name is Philip Kerrigan, I'm the program manager of the CFD. I'm joined, as always, by
Heather Lucas, the fiscal and policy coordinator. There we go.
Forgets her title every time.
Every time.
And
really
then, Kieran, you're going to have to give me your name and title.
Well, I am Kieran Boyle, and I am the social media and website coordinator for the Office of the Secretary of State.
Is this your first podcast ever?
Yes, it is.
Yes. And then, of course, we're joined by our most loyal listener.
Number one super fan.
Number one super fan. Very special guest. Tell the people who you are.
My name is Landon Baldwin. I also work for the Office of the Secretary of State, and I help her with program coordination.
Woo! There he is, the biggest fan. The biggest fan. He always comes back and talks to us. So, again, today, we're going to talk about superhero movies. We're not going to actually talk about Infinity War. We're not going to get too deep into storylines because, frankly, none of us have seen it.
True.
But we do, to celebrate the release of this movie, want to geek out and talk about some superhero stuff. So just like I did with the Oscar podcast, I busted out some categories.
Oh my.
With some nominees. You can actually take the nominees or you can go off the board. And it's basically let's just talk about the fun stuff that we see when we do comic book movies.
All right.
Awesome. Nice.
All right. So is everybody ready?
Oh yes.
Let's do it.
Here we go, people. So the very first category in this particular podcast is the best actor superhero fit. Now what that means is who's the actor that best fit the role of the superhero they were playing? Let me give you some of the nominees.
Okay.
Ready? Christopher Reeve in Superman, Michael Keaton in Batman, Christian Bale in Batman. That brings up a whole Batman conversation.
Sure.
Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. Chris Evans as Captain America. Henry Cavill as Superman. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. And Bradley Cooper as Rocket from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Dude, you have three of the four people I picked.
So please, give it to me. But give it to me. Who are your favorites? Go.
Chris Evans is Captain America.
Okay.
That is painfully obvious. He will always be Captain America. And Downey, he is Iron Man.
Yes.
Like, he's Tony Stark, walking around, being all Tony Stark, snarky.
Yes.
Point is, you're welcome,
for
I guess. Because I'm your nuclear deterrent. It's working. We're safe. America is secure. You want my property? You can't have it. But I did you a big favor. I have successfully privatized world peace. What more do you want?
Atomic was made so that 25, 40 years later, Robert Downey Jr. could play.
Mm-hmm. Or like Stan Lee was like, you know, I have this friend and he just had a kid. I'm going to make this character work and the kid. Exactly.
I'm sure he's going to be a total smartass the whole time.
When
he grows up.
The other one I had that you had is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Deadpool, he's painfully obvious. Deadpool.
Yep.
And then I think that Tom Hiddleston is perfect as Loki.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
So that was the one I have that's not
okay.
on the list.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Kieran?
The one that I didn't have on my list that you nominated was Rocket and Bradley Cooper.
Yes. I love
Once you said that, I'm like, oh my God,
makes
yeah.
sense.
So true.
Who's your favorite match?
I would have to go with Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark.
Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we got two
because,
votes for Iron
like,
Man on the
you
board.
Kind of see that progression of the character. Mm-hmm. You know how Tony Stark changes into what he is now and how Robert Downey Jr. just completely changed his career around.
Yeah.
So it's like
same look at that. Look at the symbolism there. Mm-hmm. I dig it. Yeah, I remember when that movie came out, I thought, oh man, this is different than all other comic book movies so far. It was a little bit more serious. And then Jon Favreau was the director. Big time director. Love him. What about you, sir?
So I had Christopher Reeve as Superman.
Okay.
I mean, I love
classic
his portrayal of all that swell and the little boy Clark. And Lois Lane just can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
I also had Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Mm-hmm. I thought he brought a good human aspect to that character. And even though they've had issues with directors and changing up timelines and stuff, I really like that. Yeah. And then also Patrick Stewart as Professor X.
Yeah. Patrick Stewart.
That, he was Professor X.
Yeah. Is there anybody that didn't think that if they made a movie about X-Men that Patrick Stewart wasn't going to be Professor X?
Who else could have been
Who
Professor
could have possibly
X?
Been?
Exactly.
It's Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, it's Patrick Stewart all the way. Yeah,
I read something today that was like about Hugh Jackman, like when X2 came out, that they were like, oh yeah, so the studio knew that they would be milking this guy for the next 20 years. You know, they got this going forever now.
Yeah. I saw Landon's note and the first one said Patrick Stewart as Professor X, and I'm like, totally
good,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's really awesome. And he's all like, you know, he's all British and stuff, so he sounds smart.
Yeah, he's all British.
Is his name Hank McAvoy?
James McAvoy.
Yeah, I think James
good,
McAvoy. But he doesn't quite have the gravity Patrick Stewart brings.
No. Oh, of course not. Of course not.
Do you think, like, between, like, McAvoy and Michael Fassbender as Professor X and Magneto, and then you've got Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart together, like, they're perfect together. It's like the perfect
The
duo.
Chemistry is really nice for this. Yeah.
I have to say, though, I have, even though all of that makes sense, I have never loved X-Men.
You need to leave.
I know.
Get out.
I know. I've already ruined the podcast.
Yep. And it's over.
So this brings up another, a different one. Who is the best Batman?
Christian Bale.
Is guaranteed 100% lock for you?
I love Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Because, like, I grew up with him. Uh-huh. But, come on, Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
At first, when I first heard his Batman voice, I was like, oh, man, this is going to suck.
Yeah. No, that's what I thought. Because he does that thing where he talks like regular Christian Bale, and then he just slaps on the suit.
That's
talks like that all of a sudden. What is going on, dude?
So, I was actually talking to my coworker, Amy, my fellow comms person, and we were talking about the Batman trilogy.
The Dark Knight trilogy.
The Dark Knight trilogy, with Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how it's good, but Christian Bale's Batman is just like, I don't know. Sometimes
it's
just
cringe.
And
when
you hear him talk as Batman with that, you know, weird voice, it's just like, oh, God. But, you know, Heath Ledger, Joker, just
amazing.
Just
I think
amazing.
That's part of the reason he's so good is because he has, like, those people around him.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's got Heath Ledger. He's got Tom Hardy.
Yep.
He's got Anne Hathaway. Like, he's got these characters who are a little more, like, fleshed out than they were in previous
Right. So it's everything around him that makes those movies great, whereas him as Batman. But, like, and then you see Ben Affleck Batman, you're like, you know, he wasn't that bad.
Exactly. You see Ben Affleck Batman, you're like, you know, George Clooney wasn't that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
The nipple bat suit.
Well, that is a perfect segue into question number two, which is the best villain. Now, I feel like we're all probably going to answer the same way, but I could be wrong. I'll give you the top five.
Okay.
All right. So for me, number one with a bullet is Heath Ledger as the Joker in The Dark Knight. Followed closely by the other Joker, Jack Nicholson. I thought he did pretty good. He added comedy to it, which I thought was pretty interesting. I would say that James Spader as Ultron, voice of Ultron.
Yeah,
he was pretty awesome. I like Sebastian Stan as the Winter Soldier because I like the Winter Soldier in general.
Yeah. I will go down with that ship.
Yeah.
I will.
And then,
and then
this is, so I think this is a comic book movie. And I think this is like a super clever comic book movie. And that is Samuel Jackson, Mr. Glass from Unbreakable.
Interesting.
Because it's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
It's about like a real guy turning into a comic book. So that's my top five villains. What about you?
The Winter Soldier is incredible.
Yeah.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier. He's a ghost. You'll never find him.
You love
the Winter Soldier.
Oh my God, yes. I can't get enough.
Yeah. The anti-Captain America, basically.
He is. Yeah. But like, they also have that kind of parallel where it's like Captain America and the Winter Soldier go through kind of the same thing, but it turns out so different for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Redford
He's amazing.
Oh, he's like that perfect government bad guy.
How did they get Robert? Yeah, how did they get Robert Redford to do that?
Because they got Downey
movie?
To start the whole thing off. I think that's what it is. You they get really like a real a actor, and then you start to build with other real actors. James Spader's a real actor. You know?
I know they like Marvel did it right.
Yeah,
they did.
Where they were like, we're gonna go after real actors. Like Edward Norton was the Hulk at one time. Man. Yeah,
he would be great as a bad guy too.
Yeah,
well, he's always good as a bad guy.
Yeah, if he could be a bad guy. I do love the Red Skull.
Okay.
Because he's like, he's kind of like that kind of campy thing where you're like, wait, dude, you're like crazy bright red and a skeleton head.
Anybody, and he's the only villain I've ever seen worse than the Nazis.
Right, right. and I love Hela from Ragnarok, from Thor, the sister.
Okay.
See, I still have to see that.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Yeah,
it's in my Amazon Prime rented.
Nice.
So
ready to go.
I need to watch that.
Ready to go.
Yeah, like, again, she's like a real actress. I heard that when they talked about that character, it was like not too fleshed out on paper. And they were like, yeah, you know, like she's going to do stuff. And then she was just like stealing every scene.
Awesome. Yeah. How about you?
So I, again, was sticking with the Marvel.
Okay.
But Marvel now universe. That we're expanding a little
Heath Ledger
bit. Yeah, Heath Ledger, obviously. Yeah.
But I know the truth. There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever. Then why do you want to kill me? I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No. No, you... You complete me. You're garbage. You kills for money. Don't talk like one of them. You're not.
Greatest villain maybe just, ever.
Yeah.
Just the way... I can't even describe it.
Heath Ledger's Joker? Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
And when you heard that he got casted, you're like...
And then you saw him and you're like, oh my God, this is Heath Ledger.
Yeah. And he does that, like, have you ever watched that movie and literally, like... You take over the lines like you do him.
Yep.
Like you do his an impression of him. Yeah. The whole like pencil thing.
When you say that, I think of the scene where Batman's coming towards him on his bat motorcycle and the Joker says, give it to me, I want it.
Yeah.
There's no way the Batman can hear that, but it's just the Joker getting primed and crazy.
Yeah. He's so ready to go. That beautifully. Man, he does such a good job.
I also love in that movie too how they had that kind of thing where like, you know, characters have theme music. For a lot of movies, but for the Joker, he had like this anti-noise.
It was like humming.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was always kind of like this tension buildup that you weren't sure what was going to happen. Like
exactly.
Something
could snap. Like the scene at the hospital.
Yeah.
Like you just hear that, just the line. You're like, something's about to happen. When is it going to happen? And then it happens.
There's obviously holes in the movie. How the Joker could be that clever and that insane at the same time.
Yeah.
It's something, but man, there's the one where he like all the mobsters are in the back of the restaurant, and he just starts laughing and
here's my card,
pencil disappear,
brilliant, he's awesome. But go ahead, you got some other ones though.
I have so I only picked one because I was trying to do best villain. So from Black Panther, Killmonger. I would say a villain type kind of because. He was a villain like most of them because of circumstances.
Yeah.
But with his storyline, like Winter Soldier and Captain America with T'Challa, and how basically their circumstances, they could have flipped easily.
I know.
And T'Challa could have been the villain. But when you hear like Killmonger at the end and
very cool,
his whole narrative of see what they're doing to us.
Yeah.
And it kind of. That kind of goes later on, too.
I know, because we'll talk about that, I think.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, but I felt like he did a really good portrayal of a villain that you could sympathize with.
Yeah.
Very easily.
And I thought that, like, the cool thing about Michael B. Jordan compared to Chadwick Boseman is that Boseman, in every movie he's done, is real, like, refined.
Yes.
Like, he's a real actor. You see it happen, like, when he was Jackie Robinson and Thurgood Marshall, he's very refined. Michael B. Jordan has always felt real raw.
Yeah.
Like Creed is super raw.
Yeah.
And
Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station and Killmonger. Yeah. He's really like a raw actor, and I totally dig that about him.
Yes.
And
it's
works.
It's nice to see those two side by side, too.
Yeah. And then, of course, when he comes in at first, he's gonna beat Chadwick Boseman. He's totally angry. He that's like he's gonna win.
Yes,
because he's angrier and he wants more.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. I thought it was
good. And same in that line of him being raw with Killmonger, you actually and Michael B. Jordan's portrayal of him, you felt the sympathy and you felt like his emotion. Whereas like with other villains, I feel like you're like, oh my God, I really want you to lose. But in this one, you were like, I just want you to become good and join everyone.
I know. Ever after. I know.
This is your family. Come on.
And then the last scene with him and T'Challa was just like brilliant. Amazing. Good.
Last scene.
So good.
Man, super.
I don't
want to
ruin it if anyone hasn't seen it. So
well, we'll do. We're going to do spoiler alert. Okay. People. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But just that line was just so
amazing.
Good.
It was. Yeah.
All right. How about you, sir?
So I've got Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin.
Oh yeah. That's a good
one. Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That was one I rewatched and. After watching House of Cards too, it feels like he almost based his character off of Lex Luthor. Watching it again, I watched it the other night.
So you like Spacey better than Hackman as Lex Luthor?
I think he brought a more cruel, modern adaptation, but I think for the times that the first Superman movies were going for, Gene Hackman's portrayal was more the campy, more that Superman world than more 1930s, 1950s, whereas the Superman Returns world was, they kind of were vague on when it took place. But they still implemented Kevin being a little bit more cruel and brutal and not so.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll join you, Zod.
Right, right. And, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I have something behind my back.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger combined. You know, you've got like the Nicholson's the campy one and it's the times. And then you've got the modern day, like things have changed since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can all agree Jesse Eisenberg is terrible.
Yes.
Thank yes.
There was the
drawer
in the mouth, and then he licks
his
fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Weird. Yeah.
So weird.
Right?
Why? Yeah, just like I don't like Jared Leto's Joker.
Yes.
Like Eisenberg's Luthor, how he's more intelligent. Because that's something I've always respected about Lex Luthor, is he'll be reading 5 books and playing chess with 8 people.
Yeah.
And having a conversation with somebody. And I think that Eisenberg brings more of that, but it's more just criminally insane.
Yeah. I kind of felt like they wanted to do that thing where, like, Heath Ledger was so successful. How do we do that and, like, copy and paste it on other people? Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what they did with, Leto.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they thought all we need is an intense actor to fill the role of the Joker, and it would be equally as intense as Heath Ledger. But it was just perfect. Like, Ledger...
Perfect moment.
Ledger and Nolan just were on the same page as what they were going to do with that guy. And, like, it could have easily ruined Batman.
Yeah.
Like, the kid from 10 Things I Hate About You was going to be the Joker.
Yeah.
But, man, he knew exactly what he wanted to do with it. And Leto feels like what he did was, I'm going to do Ledger... Yeah. Only I'm going to do it different with gold teeth and tattoos.
Yeah.
Right?
Gangster man.
Yeah. So it was not like any better. Although I do like the lady who played Harley Quinn in that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Margot Robbie.
She was good. Yeah. I thought Harley Quinn was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think it's funny, too. Like, Leto wanted to do method acting. So he was all like in character on the set all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he sent his coworkers used condoms.
Oh, my God.
And
what?
At one point, Viola Davis was about to tase him. Like, God, she was just like, you are out of control. Get away from
Leto,
me.
Leto, you are weird.
Yeah.
I like Jared Leto, but you're weird. He seems weird.
I don't recall any of those stories when Heath Ledger was Joker.
No, I do not. Yeah. That's terrible.
He was a gentleman.
Ledger was a gentleman. So let me give you some more potential villains, because we have some other ones here. Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
Yes.
Ian McKellen as Magneto. Rebecca Romijn as Mystique.
She was great as
Mystique.
She was.
Mm-hmm. Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus.
Nice.
Tom Hardy as Bane. How do we feel about Tom Hardy as Bane?
Yeah, I like him, but it is a weird character to be. I mean, it's kind of like the Winter Soldier where he's got, you know, it has half of his face is covered. But it is a weird concept. I think Bane is a weird character in general.
He felt really out of place in that movie.
Yeah?
It feels like, because he's put as the main bad guy and the focus of the movie and that and like anarchism. And then all of a sudden, Talia al Ghul was it the whole time.
Yeah.
There's no fight scene. There's nothing that proves you're Talia al Ghul. It's just Bane
just
got shot
it.
And he's gone. And now there's 45 minutes of car chase scene.
Yeah.
You're the actual bad guy. And then it's over. And it's like, wait. What just happened? If I had like fallen asleep for 5 minutes, I wouldn't know what happened to Bane. What happened to Bane?
Yeah. Thought this was all about Bane.
Yeah.
I feel like with Bane, he's an entertaining character.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say necessarily an interesting villain.
Yeah.
He has the entertaining aspect.
Yeah.
Like the other villains have the depth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The ones that we've mentioned.
Yeah.
They have that emotional background.
Right.
And with Bane, you're just like, eh.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's what I did like about Ian McKellen's version of Magneto. There's that one X-Men where they start off in the concentration camp in Poland.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And you're almost like, oh, this is why this guy's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. I get
this
it
This is
now.
Where it starts for right? him, yeah.
Same thing with Killmonger. You feel it right away. You kind of get
you
that.
See where it starts.
That's the only thing I think. That's the thing that I think makes a good villain.
Yeah.
Is like, one is that they could be equally as good as the hero. They just, their anger or whatever, or their circumstances push them in a different direction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then also that they have a little bit of depth.
Yeah.
Right? There's a chance that they could be good, but they chose not to be.
Yeah.
Whereas, and the thing that makes Ledger so excellent is that it's a complete mystery what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
he's just he's a super duper agent of chaos, as he says. Very cool.
I think, too, for that, like, they didn't expect him to die. So to make that
there is a
movie,
mysticism there too.
Yeah, yeah. What was going to happen with the Joker? Was he going to be in the third movie?
Yes.
Was Bane a character they even considered at that point? You know?
Yeah, that's a good point too. I mean, and I feel like maybe Tom Hardy falls victim to the fact that Joker even existed
a movie before.
Kind of the movie before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Speaking of villains and Tom Hardy, did you guys see the new trailer for Venom?
I saw him with his
looks
like,
cool.
Okay, so I saw the first trailer, like, you know, the teaser trailer, and I was really excited.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, because he was in the Spider-Man movie.
Yes.
I forget about those movies. I don't
You forget Topher Grace was Venom?
Why? I was going to say Topher Grace.
I know.
Eric Foreman Venom? Come
my
on.
Yeah,
Eric Foreman is
Venom. Whoa, hashtag miscasting.
Yeah. I just kind of just pushed that out of my memory.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, we do that with every Spider-Man. That's why there's 37 of them.
That is true. That is a fact.
I'm actually really, I love the Marvel Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that franchise. But anyway, back to the Venom topic. Now, the new extended trailer where it has more of...
I haven't seen that one, though.
It just came out, like, today, I think.
Yeah.
But after seeing that, I was just like, I don't know if I want to see this movie anymore.
Right, right. I feel like Hardy's a little hit and miss, to be honest with you, from time to time.
You can't even understand him that much half the time.
I don't think you can understand him in real life.
I like him in Mad Max, but it's a hit or miss.
Yeah.
It seems like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I like that one. Nope.
Yep.
What was that movie he was in with DiCaprio where they were The Revenant, where, like, he had another thing where it was just like, your accent is insane.
Yeah.
You are a crazy person. You fit here, but, like, as a superhero or a supervillain, like,
So he's, like, another villain in the Marvel universe. So
I think he digs being a villain.
So,
I think he likes being the bad guy. It's very
Well,
strange.
With Venom, the way it's, like, he's not really a bad guy, but it's the thing inside him, kind of. So that's, like, another aspect
of
it. But Yeah, it was just the Tom Hardy Venom whole Bane, and it's kind of like the same feeling.
Yeah.
Like, it
yeah.
might be entertaining, but it could also be really bad.
Tough
It
one.
Could be Jared Leto.
Do you know if they're making another Spider-Man movie before that?
Before the Venom movie? I think it's coming out. Venom, I think, is coming out.
Is it the same kid?
Yes.
Tom Holland?
One of my favorite Spider-Man storylines in the comics is when he acquires the suit. Through the Infinity War, he comes back to Earth, and he's got it on his shoe, and goes through the whole, like, what do I want to be? Do I want to be this?
Yeah.
And he kicks it off.
Yeah.
And I could see that. And they kind of did that in the bad Spider-Man 3 movie. But I'm curious on how they're going to get
there
the
is
suit
right.
there.
It's slated for, like, two more, I think, Spider-Man movies. So there is going to be his storyline that they're going to explore. That's what I think that's what's going to happen, because there's just so many Marvel movies coming out.
I know.
I didn't even think
Black
Venom would ever
Panther.
Be a movie.
I know.
Neither did I.
I saw this image on Facebook that was all of the posters of all of the Marvels, and I was like, I can barely see this. I was like pinching my phone to find out each one. There's like 37 of them.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. This is interesting. I like this one. Best comic book movie storyline. What I mean by that is it can be one movie, like you dug one movie, or it can be over a series of movies. Let me give you some examples. So first is Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, right? So that in and of itself is a storyline. It's a darker, like, more reluctant story of Batman who dives in and out of, like, these different characters that he runs into. The Marvel Universe, Infinity War, is, like, where this is all headed. Aging Wolverine from Logan.
Okay.
I thought that was an interesting storyline. And then a special shout out to the possibly worst ever DC Justice League storyline. Yeah. Right? Holy moly, that's how you don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so kick it off. What's your favorite storyline?
So I love the Nolan movies because they're visually awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, they're well written. They have amazing actors.
Mm-hmm.
But after like the whole MCU happened,
mm-hmm.
I'm Marvel.
You're all the way Marvel.
I am.
Marvel in the Infinity Wars, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
they've done such a better job
into like the actual comic books too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like kind
of. They've done such a better job of that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I agree. Marvel. Before Marvel came out, I was just saying the Dark Knight trilogy, amazing, amazing graphics, storyline, everything, the writing. But then when Marvel came into the world, what I really like is the fact that they had to sell off their main characters to different production companies.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the money to produce them. And then they just took these ragtag. They're like, oh, let's try doing the Avengers. And it just
blew up.
And now they're able to buy back all, like buying back Spider-Man, X-Men, all of them.
Unbelievable.
And it's just amazing. That's just like the real world. But like the fictional side, the amazing way that they connected all of the movies is what I really like, because you can watch them stand alone. So say you watch the three Iron Men or you watch the Captain America.
Right.
There's still the elements of all of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And you see all of them connecting and just
the
way
they did
that.
I feel like what they did too was, so first of all, they made it feel really real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a superhero by nature is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
The person who dresses a certain way and looks
spandex.
A certain way and spandex and goes around destroying a city, which is apparently never on the news.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's what I really like.
Yeah, but they did a really good job of like making you feel like, oh, well, these people would be here and this is how the world would react to them and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff about like TV and movies when they remind you something that's like a core element of a character.
Yeah.
Like, best example is like Family Guy. Brian, the dog, right? He's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene where they're all escaping and they're in the back of a van and Brian's like kind of moving all over the place and Peter's like, hey, what's wrong with you? I'm a dog, Peter. I can't stand in a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
Right.
And they
right.
do it too with like Thor and Loki. Like they're brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They give each other crap.
Yeah, that's
Captain
good.
Captain America and Bucky Barnes are best friends. They give each
that
other
I think
crap.
Was the best infusion of like how we would react to somebody like Captain America. To me, Winter Soldier is the best version of that. Like, that in Civil War. Because remember in Civil War, there's that huge explosion that essentially creates, like, we first see Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? His dad dies.
Yes.
And it's the way it's covered almost, like, changes how people feel about Captain America throughout. Like, you guys can actually be dangerous. People can actually think you're dangerous.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
And the Scarlet Witch in the beginning.
Yeah.
With the, when her, I guess her powers don't go awry, but she can't hold on to it. And it ends up destroying the hospital.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you get your first glimpse of Wakanda. And,
That is one thing, too, about X-Men that I did dig.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked how everybody was scared. Because I feel like that's something that would happen in real life. We'd be scared of these people with these powers.
Yeah.
And we'd have congressional like hearings and all this sort of stuff, right?
Yeah,
and
because people are scared of things they don't understand.
Yeah.
So
I feel like X-Men always did that really well.
Yeah, they did.
I do really like that scene you were talking about in Civil War when Wanda accidentally hurts a bunch of people in the hospital. Because something I noticed in the Marvel movies that I've never, not appreciated, but kind of been like, ugh. Is in the first few anyway, there seems to be no regard for citizens.
Yeah.
They're not actual human superheroes.
Yeah.
Like Tony Stark just wants to be a badass.
For
himself. Like Captain America is a war hero, but then like doesn't know. I don't know. There's just a lot of explosions and like in what was it? The second Avengers when they lift up the city and then drop the city, they kill
hundreds of people. Thousands of people.
We saved you, everybody. Yeah, but you killed like 1,000 people.
And now I'm out of a home.
Exactly. And then they don't seem to be like...
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, Batman versus Superman, Superman goes to court for saving Lois Lane.
Yes.
So it's like, what's the middle?
That's what I really liked with Civil War and Viola Davis's character. When she comes, you're like, oh, she's in here. Who is she going to be?
Yeah.
Like, you get all excited. And then you realize she's the mom of the kid that dies. Tony Stark realizes that this was a kid with potential and trying to save the city. You didn't think about everyone else that you were
very cool.
And with that kind of thing too, they're like, hey, this is a very personal human thing. Mm-hmm. Like when you see it one-on-one, you see this kid is now dead and he can't go and live his life and do good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you think about, well, like, yeah, sure. You know, 12 people died at the bombing in Vienna or something. And they're like, eh, it's not so personal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to say that, boy, I feel bad for DC because they're like the horse has left the barn. Mm-hmm. They got to complete these movies.
They
are going to suck the whole way through. Yes. And now they're already down the road. The thing is, they had such potential with Man of Steel, the first Cable, and Wonder Woman.
Those two
together, right? Like, were unique ways of telling the stories of like Superman and Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. right? And, wow. I mean, that Justice League was just tough.
I think they could do it. Have you guys read the Flashpoint storyline in comics? It's just, it's about the Flash. And if they incorporate that into his movie, but he goes back and, not goes back in time, but runs so fast. He does
that he's
to change something in his past and he's changed everyone's life. And there's a whole conflict, like Superman, or not Superman. Superman doesn't exist. Wonder Woman and Aquaman are in a war to see who conquers the Earth.
Wow.
And so everyone else is just in the middle. Lois Lane's a reporter trying to figure it out. Yeah. And so the Flash runs around and tries to save finds Batman, who's Thomas Wayne, not Bruce, because Bruce was shot in the alley.
Oh,
so
there's
DC has these cool little Elseworld-like plot lines they could do, but I don't
do you
see
think
them
they're
doing
do it?
It because they're not popular.
If people don't know about it, how do you get that out there?
That's what Marvel has done really well, is appealing to more than people that read the comic books, because the way they do the storylines, they make sure they incorporate it into the standalone movies while continuing on the Avengers. Whereas DC has the potential because they have so many great characters, a lot darker than Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah. But they can't appeal to the general audience. It's more of the ones who are really into the comic that will know the little tiny details.
Right. And so that's what's so funny too about Justice League is each one of them individually actually is really good. So Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman is fabulous.
Yeah.
The kid who plays the Flash he was the only bright spot in that whole dumpster fire of a movie.
Yep.
And then Superman, Henry Cavill feels like he was built to play Superman.
Yeah.
You have the unfortunate Ben Affleck addition, whom I love, but you got to get out of there, Benny. Direct the movie, dude. You're good at directing. Direct the movie, find a different Batman. Because I don't think he could carry his own Batman.
When I heard Ledger was the Joker, oh, really? Wow, that's weird. Mm-hmm. But then when I heard Affleck was Batman, I was like, oh God, I know. Why?
Yes. Remember the Daredevil movie with the Bennifer Daredevil movie?
We've already come through this.
We tried it.
You have no business being a superhero, sir.
And there are some circumstances where you can't be redeemed. Like the Human Torch, for instance, both Chris Evans and Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
You must be the Human Torch to be redeemed, apparently.
I guess
you can't be like Daredevil. You can't be anybody else. You have to play the Human Torch.
It's just that Batman is such an iconic character.
Yeah.
And each of the guys with the, like, even Clooney, who was like, he was not terrible. The circumstances were super
definitely
bad.
Put it on the back of
his movie. Right? I mean, oh my God. Actually, never forget it. Yeah, he was bad.
Oh,
but like, it feels like that's such a good, like, brooding character. He's like the anti-superhero. He doesn't have like the whole nobility aspect to him.
But won't kill.
And he won't kill. No, and so then like, you had Keaton, Kilmer, then you had, like, Clooney, and then you had, like, Bale, and then I don't think Affleck's got the weight for it.
No.
I don't think he's got the weight for Batman. You need, like, a real, like, you know, like, good, solid, dark actor. And I don't know that. See, Affleck has it sometimes because The Town is amazing, but.
Yeah, sometimes. But that's more, like, realistic stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, is he's really good at that. That's his wheelhouse.
Can we talk about his back tattoo?
Oh my God!
Wow.
Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
Right? You know how I feel about Ben.
No,
you know he and I are bros.
Yeah.
But have you seen his back tattoo?
Oh.
That's terrible.
The fact that he said it was for a movie.
And then it wasn't.
And now
it
it's true
and real?
He's off the rails, people. He's losing his mind. Shout out to Affleck. You can be on the show anytime.
Yeah, come on the show.
Come on the show.
Redeem yourself.
I liked him. until what he did to Jennifer.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, no.
I love it.
You're canceled.
I love it. I love it. This is the Us Weekly Gossip Hour.
Yeah, right?
Okay, so this is a unique category. I like this category. I got a feeling where we're going to go, because Kieran and I have actually talked about this before. Mm-hmm. The superhero with the most to say. So a superhero movie that also is social commentary at the same time. Wonder Woman, just for the pure aspect that there has never been a strong female superhero that was as good as it was portrayed by Gal Gadot. Mm-hmm. That was an amazing movie. Black Panther, The Hulk. I put The Hulk on here because I think that The Hulk is actually... I've always kind of liked the character that Stan Lee built, because what it kind of is a commentary on, like, if you let the anger inside you, like, consume you, it will own you for the rest of your life, right? And mm-hmm. I think that that's a really cool commentary. Yeah. And then the whole Captain America, Winter Soldier, Civil War, like, good guy in a cynical world, good guy, like the whole Winter Soldier angle. You and I were talking about this earlier, that whole angle of, like, the faith that we put in certain institutions, mm-hmm. If they're infiltrated, it like you should have faith in good people than you should in
the institutions.
In the mm-hmm. institutions. Yeah. I thought that was cool. So what do you
oh, yeah, there? Definitely Captain America, Winter Soldier. And, like, I think, too, where it's also kind of a thing where, yeah, you are putting your faith into, like, the government, and they're going to do what's right by everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And, like, Captain America keeps getting burned. Like, he trusts, he gets mm-hmm. burned. He trusts, mm-hmm. he gets burned. But I think that Black Panther is probably a bigger social commentary than anything.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that, like, Captain America is kind of, like, the standard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just, yeah, we accept that. But Black Panther was just, like, beautiful.
Man.
Yes.
There are so many layers to Black Panther.
So many.
I remember, like, as it got hyped and the ball gets rolling on it, right? And that tends to happen with some movies.
Where you're like,
I don't know. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, it cannot be that much of a commentary.
Yeah.
Because no superhero movie is that much of a commentary. And then I went to go see it, and I'm like, oh, my God,
just shattered
it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Like the whole, like, the way you react to injustice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have T'Challa being this sort of peaceful person who wants to work with everyone and wants everybody to be together, despite the fact that there's injustice in the movie that's mm-hmm. that's lobbied against him.
Yeah.
And Killmonger is... some would say rightfully angry at the system and the world and wants to take it out on people, but which one wins in the end of the day and how
it's technically right.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
That's cool. Yeah. Like that whole angle is amazing. Yeah. That whole thing is awesome.
Yeah. And I would agree, of course, because
we had this discussion
about Black Panther and mm-hmm. all of the different commentary in there. Well, I was going back and forth between, of course, Black Panther, mm-hmm. but also Civil War. And for, the social commentary in there, I was thinking about Tony Stark side of him thinking he's right mm-hmm. versus Captain America and him thinking he's right.
Yeah.
And it's like both of them are right.
Right. Yeah.
You think about both sides. And the cool thing about Civil War was, of course, there was that the villain. And in that one, too, the villain was a villain because of what happened to his family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that social commentary of, the Avengers took everything away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he created this rift between the two main, mm-hmm. I guess, heads of Avengers.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really cool because it made you think.
It's got to be one of the only movies where both people were actually correct.
They were. And,
right.
But they were also wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. So it has that... I guess the human nature part mm-hmm. of it, where it's like not everything is one side or the other.
Yeah. There's a gray area.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to both. But Black Panther just...
Man alive.
Yeah, just shattered.
Yeah, I feel like everything about it.
Mm-hmm, I was hype for that movie after Civil War. I was like, oh my God, I am so ready for this.
But he was so cool when he shows up on screen in Civil War. You were just like, oh!
That was my reaction. Because
the first thing you see him is like he's in a suit and he's very regal and he's, you know, speaking with Black Widow and his father.
Yeah.
And like, you're just like, man, he's so cool and regal and noble and awesome. And then like you get to Wakanda and his sister's crapping on him.
Yes.
And it's just like, Okoye is just like, yeah, he froze, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's so great. And he reminds you like, yeah, he really is just a guy.
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the whole thing where, like they have this precious metal vibranium, right? And like how, how they want to use it for their own personal good.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can argue as to why, like, should they have shared it with the world so that the world could have it, right? But they're rightfully cynical about the way the world would treat them with it, right?
Yep.
And then on the other hand, you have Killmonger, who is basically saying, no, you should not only share this word, you should unleash it on the world so that people like us, right, can essentially, we can change the balance of power.
Yep.
And that whole argument of like, well, really, how do you actually change the balance of power? Yeah. Is it through violence or is it through peace? That all that stuff is good. All of the very strong female characters in the movie is like, it's one of the first times that you have more than one strong female character on screen at one time.
She's not just the token woman.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And they were the actual warriors.
Yeah.
The people that protected him, everyone that protected him were female.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were the warriors. And that was really cool. And the fact that his sister was a scientist.
Oh, that's so
very
nice.
Cool.
Oh, my God. And
very
she was
cool.
the one inventing all of the cool stuff that he used.
Yeah.
That was my favorite because it also goes into the whole females in the STEM field and creating that interest. Whereas, yeah, you see, like, scientists, female scientists in the other superhero movies, but it's always, like...
Anonymous female scientists.
the token female who will become the love interest or is, like, super pretty.
Oh, we'll yeah. We'll be saved at some point by the real
something movie. The scientist who comes in and who knows nothing and spends the whole movie running away.
I like the fact that none of them were running away in heels.
Yeah.
And were wearing sensible clothing.
Sensible
we're going to be fighting. We got to have some clothes on.
Shout out to sensible clothing.
Yes.
Way to go, JCPenney.
I know.
And just the fashion in there. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The use of the traditional prints and everything.
Colors
being,
of the flag.
Everything being so integrated into the culture and them actually doing the research for the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like Ryan Coogler might be one of the best young directors we got. Mm-hmm. Because Creed, I was not looking forward to Creed because I was over Rocky, right? And then all of a sudden you see like how this infusion of energy into Creed, into the Rocky whole thing. And he used Stallone like beautifully. Like it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was almost a romance between Creed and Sylvester Stallone. He does such a good job, man. He is going to be something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that like he'd only made two movies and they were like, we'll give you a really huge movie to do next. And he actually nailed it.
Yeah.
He nailed it.
So good.
He's really good.
Well, as far as like the social commentary thing too, like you talked about Civil War a little.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny that in Civil War, you've got that kind of, we need to be put in check. Well, our hands are the strongest hands and we need to keep power to ourselves kind of thing. When you look at that kind of like idea, but you have it in X-Men, it's like, no, we do not need a registry. We do not.
Yeah.
We do not need to be put in check.
Yeah.
We do not need any of this kind of stuff going on because if that happens, then the worst people are in charge and we die.
Yes. X-Men was one of the big ones I wrote.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
For Days of Future Past, I think was a really good comment on that, where they do put the mutants in internment camps.
Exactly.
And they keep them from living or breeding, and they immediately kill them as soon as they're born, and they're trying to hunt them all down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the X-Men go back in time and try to right their wrongs and make sure that the human mutants don't mess with their future and get in the way of I don't know, affecting the way. I just really like Days of Future Past and the way it connected both those worlds, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They started making the young X-Men movies. Well, they were still had like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. And
yeah.
Making old
yeah.
ones, and I was kind of confused, like, what? Right. Mm-hmm. And then they put in the Days of Future Past storyline and bridged yeah. them, mm-hmm. and then also erased all the misconceptions the old X-Men movies did.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. Yeah, like, they got rid of that awful Wolverine Origins movie they made with
the
him
one
and the
with
fake
Liam
Deadpool.
Shriver.
Ryan Reynolds was yeah. still Deadpool, but he had yeah. laser eyes.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah. That sucked.
Yeah, you can't have the Merc with a mouth have no mouth either.
Yeah, he didn't have a mouth. Yeah.
Like, what is that? Yeah. What is that?
That's terrible. Yeah, that's a good point.
Other one, V for Vendetta is probably one of my
comic
storylines.
Holy cow, yeah, yeah. Good point.
Trusting your government.
Good point.
Yeah, totally.
I think Watchmen does a really good job at criticizing superheroes and the superhero movie role.
Completely forgot about Watchmen.
Man, holy cow, I did forget about Watchmen.
That's
all the way.
My favorite book
and that's why Landon's here.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Watchmen, the social commentary, and Dr. Manhattan looking at society and being like, do we need this? There's a really cool moment in the comics where the mean girl's talking with Dr. Manhattan, and he goes, see, this is what all our lives could be and have, and they all flash in a second, and he shows the Justice League doing a bunch of things from like their first few comics to like when they're meeting, and then from when they're in the 80s, and all the way up to when Watchmen is written. And then I was reading a different DC comic storyline from the same time, and they incorporated that, like Batman and the Flash here. The guy, Dr. Manhattan talking about them.
Wow.
And it just blew my mind. I love the way Watchmen incorporated itself into the DC universe, but then also was a big social commentary on, do we even need superheroes? And if they existed, would they be helping, or would they just be a big distraction from what's going on?
That's good.
Would Nixon be president for 30 years?
Yeah.
Russia still be in charge.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like The Incredibles, too.
Yes,
you know?
I was
like,
just thinking that, too.
Are superheroes doing good? And if they're not, we should get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And they just, exist sort of as regular people selling insurance.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like that's what I liked about the movie Logan. Because you're talking about the end of... I mean, it's really the end of the X-Men.
Have been born 30 years or something.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And, man, he's like a broke-down superhero. I thought that was really cool. Yeah, and then, of course, Patrick Stewart is freaking
killed
amazing.
Killed all the X-Men.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. Man, he's so cool. Okay. Okay, so it's last category, and the most important category, and that is the best superhero movie of all time. Let me give you a couple, and then obviously everybody can either pick one of these and we'll talk about it, or we'll go off the board. Mm-hmm. So the 1989 version of Batman, the very first one, The Dark Knight, Iron Man, the first one, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Andor, Civil War, Logan, Wonder Woman, Black Panther. These are just a couple, but we don't have to stick with them. So what's your pick? You going off the board?
No.
Oh, she's staying on the board.
Yeah, I'm staying on the board. So, I think that The Dark Knight is beautifully done.
I knew it.
Okay?
Okay. But not?
But.
Oh, wow.
I love, I don't like it when the heroes fight each other. Like, when I first was, Civil War, I'm not so sure about that. The comics, I was like, I don't particularly enjoy that. But then seeing it was like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I cannot rewatch that movie. Can I tell you that?
I rewatch it every day.
I don't like it that they fight each other.
Right? It sucks.
It sucks.
It stinks. Yeah. Yeah, because they're both really awesome.
Yeah. Just talk it out.
Yeah, man.
That scene at the airport when they're like, I guess we're
They're
doing
all
this.
Fighting each other. Yeah. Yeah, not sure I love that, man.
But after the fight scene, you see them all come back together.
Yeah,
help each other and apologize. Yeah. Except for Tony Stark and Cap.
He's still mad.
But Tony does go back to forgive him when they go to Hydra, and he sees the video of his parents, and
that was it.
You see that Cap is trying to protect
irreparable.
Bucky. After Bucky killed his parents, even though he didn't know what he was doing, you can kind of see why Tony is like,
Tony is responsible for the death of Wanda and Pietro's family.
Yeah.
And she was a kid.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's had 40 years to process, 20 years, 30 years, something like that to process the death. So it's like, okay, man, just reel it in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is the guy who killed
that's
your parents.
That's the sneaky thing about Robert Downey Jr.'s rendition of Iron Man and Tony Stark. And that's what makes him the really great fit that he is that there is the snarkiness
which everybody loves about Robert Downey Jr. He talks so fast, and you like sometimes you have to rewind and be like, "What did he just say? That's amazing!"
Yeah.
But then there's an anger, underneath him that's very, very cool. Like,
and
he,
also
like
the
he's
guilt.
Got all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of guilt there, and Iron Man 3 I thought was really cool in that regard. Like he, you know, he's processing things.
I can't
Iron Man
what
2,
they
he's
did
processing
with the Mandarin though. That was crazy.
Terrible.
Yeah, because the Mandarin seemed like. He was serious business.
He was and like then, Osama bin Laden on steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
was terrifying. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he's just on
he's just some drugged out actor.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was just really happy
sir.
Too.
Guy Pierce the whole time.
I was just really happy Ben Kingsley was
right?
in it. So I was just like, mm-hmm. hey, representation.
I know.
But, yeah. but they're getting like actual real actors for these things.
Yeah, yeah. Why did Ben Kingsley have to be all like drugged out and dumb?
Exactly, yeah.
Right? This is friggin' Gandhi we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Come on now. I love Guy Pearce though, so I had to forgive him for it. Anyway, what's your best superhero movie of all time?
Oh man, so like I was telling you earlier, I had to categorize them because I have more than one best.
Okay.
Because for different reasons, you know.
Okay.
So, and most of them, yeah, are in the Marvel universe because, after you had mentioned everything about X-Men, it took me back to when I was younger and watching the
X-Men.
Movies.
Oh, love
the
X-Men.
Ones when they were coming out. Not the Jennifer Lawrence ones, but the ones before.
The originals.
Rebecca Romijn ones. And you think about that, and that's like the first, I want to say that's kind of like the first superhero.
Yeah.
Nerdy like sci-fi movies that I got into, and I was just like, "Oh
Me
my
too.
God, this is amazing!"
Okay,
and
okay.
So I would say those are
the
one
X-Men.
Of my like close favorite because of that nostalgic factor.
Yeah.
To
okay,
it. But I have to go with Black Panther. I know, surprise, right? but the reason for that is because of the great acting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All the cliche things, strong female leads, the music. I love the music.
Cool.
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And, and just the way that they showed everything, how they completely changed the perception of, I guess, even though Wakanda is a fictional country, but countries in Africa, like they're not what people think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it just having that, and it's completely different from any other Marvel super movie.
Do you
superhero
think,
movie? So,
do you think that Chadwick Boseman is now like so there are some James Bonds who are only James Bonds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Roger Moore was never thought of as anything besides James Bond. Yeah. I fear that like Pierce Brosnan is that way, right? He's really like James Bond.
Yeah.
Do you think Chadwick Boseman is now like locked in? Like, doesn't matter what people think, he's going to be T'Challa every time he plays a movie.
I don't think so. I think Chris Evans is stuck.
Yes.
But I think that Chadwick Boseman can move out of that because he's done these other movies and they've been like actually
he was a heck of a Jackie Robinson.
They're strong movies. And I think he can go back and forth.
I don't think he would be typecast as T'Challa.
Yeah.
Because he does so well at differentiating it from his other characters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know how we were discussing the best actor fit, Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark.
Yeah, they're the same person.
Yeah,
he doesn't even have to act.
He's just being natural.
I was gonna say, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine's kind of like that.
Wolverine
has a personality in the comics, but Hugh Jackman became the Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know, they're almost synonymous with each other.
Which is also ironic because he seems like the nicest man alive.
Right? Still does.
Right? And yet he plays this brooding, like an almost bad guy, good guy character.
Well, he gets out of it sometimes, though, too, because he gets to do like singing movies. Like he's in Les Mis,
He's totally like, I have these claws, I hate them, and now I'm singing.
Everything's amazing. Right? You're like, what?
Okay. What they need to do is a Wolverine musical.
Pitch it to Broadway. Got to.
Hamilton.
He's just so angry.
I would say, and then after Black Panther, I would have to say Iron Man, the first one.
Yeah.
Or, more so Iron Man, the first one, over the Avengers, the first one.
Yeah.
Because Iron Man, again, kick-started the
right.
whole
exactly.
Marvel. It just right. made this whole universe.
Yeah.
And then the wild card in there is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ah, I love Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Chris Pratt, like,
he's fabulous. Who would have thought that guy from Parks and Rec would become like Stud Muffin?
Andy Dwyer is Star-Lord.
He's like Studley Harrison Ford now. Yeah. He's doing all these like action movie guys.
Jurassic Park. Yeah. And Guardian? And Guardians, just everyone in their Drax.
Fantastic.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
I love him. My favorite thing about him is how he laughs at the yes. most inappropriate yes. time.
You must be so embarrassed.
Yes, that's my yep. favorite line. Yeah. Where he's like pointing at him and laughing.
Yeah, so good.
That's or awesome. When he tells Mantis, "You are hideous."
Oh my god. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Those are three.
In a good way.
Those are three really good movies because I feel like all three of them were fairly groundbreaking for what they were doing. I mean, Iron Man really starts the whole like serious foray into Marvel, but then also like this is a different superhero movie.
Yeah.
And then X-Men, the original, was pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
Yeah. Well, like with Iron Man too. I mean, after that first movie, he had a little bit of it going on in the first movie, but like in the second one, the third one, and the Avengers movies, like Tony Stark has some serious mental health issues.
He's got does, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, it's not pretty mental health issues. Right. Like everyone's just like, oh yeah, I'm anxious.
Yeah, that's what makes Iron Man 3 so
things
good.
Things are fine. But I mean, he's having like breakdowns.
He is having a breakdown. Yeah. Which, I mean, I feel like you would have.
You don't have those kinds of things. You don't see superheroes in breakdowns.
No, they just seem all happy they're all put together and
or they do the 10 minutes or they do the 10 minutes of the movie where they're kind of in doubt about whether they're going to be a superhero or not.
And then they're like, yes, I will.
I will. And now I'm 100%.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. How about you?
Can I throw just one
more in? Go ahead.
I just have to throw in Ant-Man because Paul Rudd.
Something I do appreciate about the Marvel Universe is they made characters like Ant-Man and they use that same Iron Man movie formula where it's like serious scientist fact and then funny potty joke to like keep you going.
Yeah.
But like the movie works and they have an Ant-Man now and he was in Civil War and he's he was a plot line.
He's like a guy.
That's cool. They got
the
it
fact
there.
That they made a movie out of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp was phenomenal. Yeah. Wow. I love the whole size changing thing. It reminds me of what they do with Adam and DC. Oh, I love it.
That's awesome. Really, really that's cool. Awesome.
Yes.
So go ahead. Your favorite comic book movie of all time.
So between V for Vendetta, mainly because of the graphic novel, I do like the Bush commentary, political side to the movie that they add to it, but I do like the anarchist versus fascist core storyline. And then Spider-Man 2, actually.
Tobey
Maguire. I'm not crazy about the Mary Jane in that.
Yeah.
But I do really, really like the fact that he's trying to figure himself out. Does he want to be a superhero? Spider-Man's always connected with me, kind of like you and X-Men. X-Men and Spider-Man came out in like the early 2000s before they started this rush of superheroes.
Yeah.
It was like, oh yeah, I do want to be the kid that wants to to make extra money taking pictures of myself but also save the day.
Yeah.
And support my aunt. So that was always
cool.
Spider-Man's always been a good one. But something I really did appreciate about the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies, even though I wasn't crazy about how much was going on, I loved Emma Stone's Gwen Stacy and how they got to her death. I thought that's one of my favorite moments in all of comic book history is when Spider-Man accidentally kills his girlfriend he's trying to save and realizes, like, maybe I can't have a personal life.
That's good. That's good.
But I think the best superhero movie of all time would have been Superman Lives with Nick Cage, the Tim Burton one that they never got to make.
Oh,
that would have been legendary.
Oh my gosh, you just made Jericho's day.
She could have been here. She could have been here.
If she can make it through this whole pop culture festival to the end and she will hear Nicolas Cage, she will die.
Happy birthday, Jericho.
Yeah. I always thought that was funny. I remember all those jokes about like Nicolas Cage, like, how could he be Superman? He's balding. Would Superman ever lose his hair? He couldn't win the battle against his hairline.
I just imagine Superman. Him being Superman and trying to steal the Constitution.
Right? Trying to land the
national treasure, Superman edition.
Well, they did that thing with Cavill's mustache, you know, get rid of the mustache. They could have done that with Nicolas Cage.
I know.
Wigs, prosthesis, kind of thing.
But it's Nicolas
absolutely
Cage.
Absolutely. Well, this has been fantastic. I want to thank Kieran. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. You're welcome back anytime. And then Landon, of course, you're welcome back at any point, sir. You can come back. You can be a regular on the show.
Sounds good.
Awesome. And then, of course, Heather, thank you for,
you're welcome.
As always. You know, I mean, whatever, you're here.
Yeah.
It's like, I get paid for this.
Yeah. You're paying me for this.
I get paid either way. Don't worry about it.
Question, though. Are they ever going to do a Black Widow movie?
I hope they do.
How many Avengers are there? They all have their own movies.
Except there might be an issue with the
Hawkeye.
Well, not Hawkeye.
She was a Soviet spy in the right? Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe...
Ooh, you could have like a whole Jack cool, Ryan vibe like to the Soviet, thing, right?
Like exactly. Soviet
situation.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah. ScarJo's awesome. Would,
yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, and then you could have some backstory for her. You get Hawkeye in there. How did they hook up? Like, he recruited her, you know?
Yeah.
Shout out to my sister because she always thought Hawkeye was hot guy. She's going to hate me. She is gonna hate that I said this. Yes, she thought it was a hot guy, and she was like, "Makes sense."
We should really get somebody who's good looking for this hot guy role.
Yeah. Let's not give him a name. Let's just hot guy.
Hot guy. Hot guy. Jeremy Renner is a good looking man.
Yeah, it applies.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys again for doing this, and thanks for the listeners to the listeners for listening to us geek out for about an hour. We'll throw this up the day that Infinity War is released, and then of course we'll have our usual podcast next week. So thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Yay.
You're still here. It's over. Go home. Oh, you're expecting a teaser for Deadpool 2. Well, we don't have that kind of money. I'm expecting Sam Jackson show up with an eye patch and a saucy little leather number. Go.